Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to another fantastic episode on the silsila Treasures of Wisdom. And we hope and pray that you and your families are doing well and are keeping in the best of health, inshallah. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah, always remember to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of the bounties and blessings that He has given you. When someone asks you, how are you doing? Then always say, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal, that all praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon every single circumstance, upon every single state that I may be in. And when you do this, you would see how much of barakah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts into your lives, into your rizq and sustenance as well. So adopt this beautiful quality of always thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. The Quran teaches us that the more you are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase for you. So Alhamdulillah, today dear viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah, we have a very beautiful and enlightening topic of discussion, and that is cherish your youth. And subhanAllah, to discuss this wonderful topic with me, I have in studio our honorable guest, Mawlana Naushad Attari, hafizahullah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
How are you keeping, Mawlana sahib?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. And how are you doing?
MashaAllah, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. But Mawlana sahib, today we have a very extraordinary topic of discussion, and that is cherish your youth. Mm. And mashallah, mashallah, this topic is really, really vast, and it has so many different aspects, so many different angles and perspectives, and it's really, really deep, mashallah. It's, you know, many people out there may think that, oh, youth, it's for fun and games, entertainment, to enjoy life, to live life to the fullest, and they think that's all what youth is all about. So inshallah, Munasab, as we go along in today's discussion, we would be unraveling the how one should actually be spending their youth, inshallah, as we go along. Inshallah. But before that, dear viewers of Madani channel, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this regard, our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that undoubtedly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed an angel at my grave.
Allah.
And this angel has been granted the ability to hear the voice of every creature. So whoever recites salawat upon me until the day of Qiyamah, this angel presents to me that person's name along with his father's name.
Allah.
And he says that so and so has recited salawat upon you this time, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us also send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a very beautiful incident and a parable actually, wherein there was a saint, a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said that he saw a young man in the jungle, and this person, he was far away from the people, and you know, he was far away from the city life. And what was he doing in the jungle? It's mentioned that he was busy in seclusion. He would busy himself in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in seclusion. So when I came across him, I said salam to him. He replied to my salam. And I then asked him that, oh young person, oh young man, Why are you here at such an isolated place where you have no helper and nor do you have a friend? You don't have any companion with you. How is it such that you are here? So this young man, he says that I do have a helper as well as a companion. So pious person says that I asked, where is your helper and where is your companion? This young man, he replied and he said that he has superiority over me with his dignity. He is with me with his knowledge. He is in front of me with his guidance. And his blessing and dignity are on my right and my left. This pious person says, when I heard this, I asked that, will you give me permission? Will you allow me to be in your company? So he said that your company, it will make me completely heedless of worship. And I do not like this. I do not like that I become heedless of worship, because the king of the earth from east to west is sufficient for me.
Allah.
Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is sufficient for me. So the pious person asked him that, do you not feel nervous in this place? You all alone? And he replied and he said, one whose friend is Allah Azza wa Jal, how will he be nervous?
Mm-hmm.
So I asked, where do you eat from? And he replied, when I was unborn yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided me with food, even inside the womb of my mother. Subhanallah, subhanallah,
subhanallah.
Through the divine blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now that I have grown up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will he not provide me sustenance?
Hmm.
He has fixed, you know, an amount of sustenance for me, and its time is also written. And then this pious person says that I requested him to make dua for me. And he made dua for me in this following way. He says, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect your eyes from his disobedience, fill your heart with his fear, and not make you among those who become heeders of worship after being occupied with other than him. So after that, when he stood up to leave, I went to him and I asked him that, oh my brother, when will we meet up again? When am I going to see you again? And he replied to me with a smile on his face and he said, I will not meet you in this world after today.
Allah.
However, on the day of Qiyamah, when all the people will be gathered, if you would want to meet me, then you could find me among those who will have the Dare Ilahi, who will have the blessed sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the pious person says that I asked him, how have you come to know of this? And he replied, by his dignity, I have learnt it through him, through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I have prevented my eyes from looking at haram things and my nafs from satisfying my desires and adopted seclusion in the dark nights for his worship. So due to this, I am hopeful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with me. And in return for this, he will let me have his sight. And that young man, he then disappeared. And I never, ever met him again after that. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Masab, this incident and this story, it's so, so mind-blowing, Masab. I mean, you know, on one hand, we have this young person alone in the jungle. And when we look at this narration, it tells us how of a high level his tawakkul, his trust was in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And despite being so young, Munasab, he killed his nafs, he defeated his nafs, and that is what gave him this ability to worship for so long and to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Munasab, with regards to this incident, right, that there are so many lessons we gain from this, and especially, you know, today our topic is cherish your youth. So one who is in the youth, Masab, youth ends at the age of 30 or 40, it ends around there, around that time. So in between that gap, Masab, you know, so many young people out there just want to enjoy life, just want to live life.
Where did they get this idea from?
That's an important question. But I mean,
there are factors out there that are working to program people's minds, whether they know about it or they don't. Knowingly or unknowingly, their minds are being programmed.
Uh-huh.
And in particular, the youth.
Right.
If there's any youngsters watching, let's be a little bit wise. Take a step back.
Right.
Take a step back and watch things, what is happening. Watch who is influencing me.
Mm-hmm.
The way I'm living my life is because I've been influenced, whether I've given permission or not, but there's some influences there that is making me or has influenced my mind to live the lifestyle I'm living.
Whether it be direct or indirect.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of it is indirect actually.
Ah, okay.
So, and this is where parents in particular play a very important role in the life of their youngsters.
Right.
The young sons and daughters.
Hmm.
Your home, right, is like a ship. The passengers are your family members. And now you, as the father of the house, as the parent, in which direction are you steering this ship? Towards Islamic values or un-Islamic values? So how and in which direction you are steering this ship, that's the kind of influence is going to happen on the minds of your young sons and daughters. If your home, Islamic environment, if people are reading Quran, reading Salah, the discussions of Quran, of Sunnah, of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, Sahaba, Ahlul Bayt, Awliyaullah is taking place,
right,
then inshallah azza wa jal, this will also influence the life of the youngster, the young boy, the young girl in the house.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're listening to music, dramas, soapies, movies, no salah, the house is like a graveyard, what's going to happen to that young boy or girl?
Right.
They're going to follow in these footsteps.
How are they going to learn?
How are they going to learn? They're going to learn everything else, but they won't learn deen. So parents need to step up and train their boys to be boys so that they can become upright, good Muslim men, responsible Muslim men, and train their girls to be girls.
Right.
So that they can become upright, good Muslim women.
Subhanallah.
Because we are seeing, you know, a kind of, it's an epidemic, I would say, where the youngster is in the 20s, 30s, sometimes 40s, but not mentally mature.
Sure.
Absolutely irresponsible. Not looking after the family. Not looking after the kids, not doing any training whatsoever.
Right.
There's one case, right?
Ji.
Where the mother is forced to work. The father has a good job. He's a professional. He earns good money. But he contributes nothing towards the expenses of the house. They're a young couple. They got little kids.
Sure.
So they're also youngsters.
Ji.
That they're bringing up youngsters. But look at the environment. Not taking any responsibility. The poor mother has to go out to work to pay for the water and lights.
Allah, Allah.
To the extent, if they need any stationery for their school, for their madrasa, even that too she has to cover the expenses. Why? Because this young dad, he's using his money to buy these, you get these very like high quality remote control cars. They are big cars.
Okay.
And it has a little engine,
right,
which costs like 10,000, 20,000.
A remote control.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and they go out to these different areas where they race each other.
Right.
And they're invited to tournaments.
His money
is going there.
And that's big money too. I mean,
big money
to be spent over there.
And he takes fuel also.
Oh, he takes petrol as well.
He takes petrol. So,
Allah.
You're a young parent. You are growing up young children. But you got no influence over them. The child even says, when my father is at home, because the mother is going to work now, he got flexible hours, I'm even frightened to ask my father to help me with my homework.
Sure.
Because he's going to shout and scream at me.
Allah, Allah.
So what kind of young parents do we have?
What a beautiful angle, Mu'asad.
So take responsibility. And that is the parent's responsibility, the father in particular. You are growing up youngsters. Teach them responsibility. Teach them conflict resolutions. Teach them time management, anger management, emotional, to develop their emotional intelligence. Islam teaches all of these things. These fancy terms are there now.
Right, right.
But all these concepts and ideas you'll find in Islam.
Yes, 100%.
It's taught in the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the lives of Sahaba, Ahlul Bayt, Awliyaullah. You're going to find these things if you study, if you search, and you research as well. So who's doing the influencing? If the mother is busy at work, the father is busy in his games, somebody is influencing that youngster.
Definitely. Which it's not coming from nowhere.
It's coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
The indoctrination is coming from somewhere. Either from the school, from the friends, from social media, from the movies and entertainment industry. So what are they going to teach? They're going to teach how to live an Islamic life?
No, of course not. They teach the opposite to that.
They're going to teach everything of immodesty.
Yeah.
Immorality, hedonism, that your only purpose in life is to the pursuit of pleasure. And then we want to know, why are youngsters like this here? Have you fulfilled your responsibility as a mother or father, as a grandmother, as a grandfather, as the uncle or the aunt, as the guardian of that youngster?
Right.
Have you fulfilled your responsibility? So youngsters, if any are watching now, you know, don't feel like, you know, nobody's there to listen to you. I'm telling you, Dawood Islami is a support structure. Come into Dawood Islami.
Yes.
You will find something proactive to do, where you can develop yourself and you can help others as well. Because a youngster that has this mindset that, you know what, I must stay away from sins. I must eat my salahs. You know, something so beautiful. Our beloved Ustad Sahib said, Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi, rahmatullah ta'ala, Allah grant him a high station in the hereafter.
Ameen.
He says, in one of his bayans, that the youth can cause the revolution, an Islamic uprising. Not going on the streets and protesting and stuff. Listen to what he says. He says, if every youngster, every boy out there, young Muslim boy, makes it a condition, I'm only going to marry if the girl reads a 5 times namaz. If she follows sunnah.
Subhanallah.
If she reads the Quran.
Subhanallah.
If she has modesty, haya. And if every Muslim girl out there made the same condition, I'm only going to marry if the boy reads his 5 daily salahs. If he practices sunnah, he reads Quran, he's got good akhlaq, he has haya, modesty. This is how they can create the change.
Subhanallah.
Something wonderful.
But it's so impactful.
It's impactful. It's something that can be achieved. If parents make the mind making, if they make the minds of the next generation, we can see great things. And it's already happening.
Yeah.
Look at Dawood Islami. Most of the people in Dawood Islami are youth, are youngsters globally.
Yes.
It's not only for youth, for
Jee.
Any Muslim, any Ashiki Rasul, but you will find so many that are youngsters.
Subhanallah.
That are youth. Because the focus is on that.
Right.
They are the next generation. We'll be gone.
The next gen.
They're going to take over. Yeah. They're going to take over. All depending on what kind of training they're receiving now. And attention. They need attention. Give them attention. Listen to them. Sometimes just keep quiet and listen to them.
They just want to be heard.
They want to be heard. That's it. And if you don't do that, they will get the attention somewhere else. And even that person may not really care about them. Maybe they have some ulterior motive. But because they're giving attention to that young man, that young lady, they're giving attention, they're listening, and they're giving advice, they will become more close to that individual.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. And also, Masab, I came across a very beautiful saying, right? And this saying, it's a quote was that inheritance is what you leave for your children. And legacy, on the other hand, is what you leave in your children.
Allah.
This is so beautiful. That, you know, so many, when we look at a society, right, we see that everyone leaves inheritance behind. Property, vehicle, money, whatever the case may be.
Right.
But how often do we find someone who leaves a legacy behind in their children?
In fact, it's called a financial legacy. It is there. Okay. Financial legacy, where a person built up a business or some streams of income in order to leave for their offspring if they pass away. But what is a more important legacy than that is a spiritual legacy, an Islamic legacy.
Subhanallah.
As per the hadith, one of the things that are still going to benefit you after your passing away is waladun salih. A pious child that makes dua for you. So you're leaving behind these youngsters, your sons, daughters. Are they going to make dua for you or not? If they are, if you train them well, then that's part of your Islamic legacy you're leaving behind.
You know, Masab, I've been to one house, right? And I've seen they invited us for supper. And we sat down on the floor and the dasturkhan was laid out. And I've seen the children of the host, maybe around 7, 8, 9 year old kids. And they came with a platter. On that platter was cups. They came and they laid out the entire dasturkhan. They were the ones who brought the food, brought the water, brought the cool drinks, brought the juices, brought everything, and they laid it there. And they stood there to see if we need anything. And I'm looking at this entire thing and I'm saying, SubhanAllah, what a good upbringing and teaching this is to live in children, because they are being taught to show hospitality towards their guest, you know, to show kindness towards their guest, to serve them. And this is a beautiful sunnah of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. He was the most hospitable towards his guest, that even if he had something to eat, he would go and look for someone to share his meal with. So subhanAllah, these are the teachings that we need to instill in our children, in our youth that we have. We need to instill these beautiful qualities in them. You know, Mufti Ahmad Yat Khan Naimi rahimahullah, he says that health, youth, wealth and life should not be wasted, because these are precious. Money can't buy it. Money can't buy it. These are priceless gems in your life. So when you have this, we need to utilize them in the proper way, especially when someone is young, especially if you are in your youth. Utilize that energy, channel that energy into something positive, into something meaningful, into something that has a purpose, not something that's that doesn't have any meaning. But do everything what you must with a meaning and intention behind it. Perform good deeds when you have these things, because these blessings, they are not given again and again. Once you have it, at some point, you never know if you abuse that. If you abuse that blessing, you don't know whether it's going to go, whether it's going to stay. We don't know. How many people, Masab, you know, they have good health, they have good wealth, they are in their youth, in their prime time. And mashallah, they are inhaling, exhaling. And how many of them we see that they are oblivious of it. Wherein one thing is that I have wealth, I need to go and do up my car and get it ready for drags and put so much of money into that. That's also another fantasy, Munasab, that youngsters go through.
There's many deceptions of shaitan. Like, you know, he has certain delaying tactics. That he whispers into the minds of people. That, you know, don't worry. You're still young. You got your whole life ahead of you. How do you know that? What if today is your day that the angel of death is going to meet with you? Accidents happen all the time. But he puts all this fake stories, these kind of hopeful wishes. You still have a long way to go. Now, okay, just enjoy yourself. Otherwise, you're going to miss out on the party. You're going to miss out on the fun.
Sometimes they even say, why are you carrying on like an old man?
You know, so subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, Islam teaches us that one of the best things actually is if a young person behaves like somebody who is more mature in age, in mind, right? And one of the worst things is an old person that acts like a young person. So, youngsters out there, yes, they have the choice. Because parents need to do the training as much as they can. Teach them how to select their friends.
That's very important.
Very important. Teach them how to select who they want to be with, who they want to associate with, what kind of acquaintances they must have. I mean, we teach him so many other things. I want my child to be good at maths, at science, you know, in their language. I mean, priority is teach them some Quran. Mm-hmm. Teach them some the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Best way to teach them is by us practicing.
Huh.
Right? As they are small, as they're growing up into that young man or woman, if they're growing up in this environment, it will do them good. Because shaitan is there and he's whispering all these ideas. Don't worry. One of the ideas he whispers and which is taught in the movies to the young person is that your parents are old school.
This is a very famous one. Yeah. And we see it's so widespread as well.
It is taught in the movies. Almost every single movie, what we read from the researchers and surveys, is that almost every single movie out there teaches this. That your parents are backwards.
Old school.
Old school. They're holding you back from expressing yourself. Your friends, they really care about you. Because you're informal. You have a good time. You have fun. You laugh. You joke.
Such a dangerous trap that is.
It's a trick of shaitan.
Sure.
And you know what? One lie that people tell to their daughters, especially those who are just finishing high school, 17 years, 18 years old.
Right.
And you know who's saying this? Non-Muslim psychologists are saying this.
Sure.
There's a big lie that we teach our daughters that are finishing high school. That my little daughter, the most important thing in your life is your career. Ask us, we'll tell you. How parents are crying. My daughter is 30 years old, in her late 20s, mid-30s, can't find a suitable, compatible partner for marriage.
Sure.
Because her age, 20-30 years old, the boy that age is looking for one that's under 30.
Right.
Who are you going to find?
Huh.
And your biological clock is ticking.
Yeah, and time is going.
Who's going to regret? You're going to be left all alone. You are going to regret it. I'm not against our daughters studying if there's no un-Islamic environment. If there's Islamic environment and everything is above board, alhamdulillah, no problem, no issue. But to send them to universities of today, which have become breeding grounds of immorality, immodesty, and mass filth. We get news from the students who are there. The kind of filth that is taking place, especially if you're sending your daughter there. Don't cry when something happens.
Sure.
Because we know what's happening at the uni. We know the kind of filth and relationships that are happening over there. And so, you know, youngsters out there, they can become more responsible.
And the company is very important.
Company influences. As-suhbatu mu'athiratun. It has its effect on the minds, on the hearts of individuals. So youngsters can do lots of good things, can utilize their energy, their mind, their intelligence to further the deen. Yes, there are going to be challenges because most youngsters are just in that zone of, you know, like partying and having fun because they know they don't know. Their minds have been programmed by the social media, by the movies and the dramas. It's already been programmed, right? In that culture.
That entertainment
but
industry.
But if you stand up against the tide, against the wave, that no, I'm not going to be like everybody else. I'm going to be how my Allah Azza wa Jal wants me to be.
Subhanallah.
And so this is where also repentance comes in.
Yes.
A blessed hadith mentions, somebody of the hadith, that the repentance of youngster, the one who repents in youth, is the beloved of Allah Azza wa Jal.
Subhanallah.
Can you imagine becoming a beloved one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of repenting when the person was young?
Subhanallah.
It's a mindset thing.
And you know, Musab, you were speaking about a company, right? I've come across this few days ago in one of our madrasas. I've come across a group of students, right? And one of them came to me and told me that, you know, when we, obviously they called out to read Naat, etc. They call out for programs. And at times the host asked them that, how much do you all charge? What's your service fee, etc., etc. So this student told me that he told his group, his friends, that if someone has to come and ask, what is our fee? How much do we charge? We tell them that, no, we don't charge anything. We're doing this fee sabilillah. and for the pleasure of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah.
And hearing that, I was really, really taken aback, because I mean, youngsters, I mean, and they are in the early 20s, Masa, between 17 to 21, and they already have this mindset that in whichever program they are called to, it's a different case if the host gives them something that's Nazrana, it's a gift for them, it's fine, no problem. But here they took it on another level, that when they are asked, how much do you charge? They say, no, we don't charge anything. I mean, we're doing this full of sincerity from the bottom of our hearts. And I was really, really amazed at that, and really happy to see that some of our youngsters out there, mashallah, they have really beautiful mindsets, Masab. And
very good, very good.
We see it in them that they want to do more for the deen. They want to accomplish more. They want to, they also want to leave a legacy behind. And it's up to, you know, the elders to give them that platform, to give them that push, because they need the push from those who are senior, you know. And when that push is given, they feel more encouraged.
Right.
They feel more motivated. So, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, this is some of the youngsters, Masab, that we do have with this mindset.
Excellent.
And,
so there's hope.
There is hope, yes. There is hope. There is definitely hope. You know, a believer lives between fear and hope. And this is how we should be. Wherein we should not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes, Masab, they just need a slight dosage, just a slight push to
they
give them
some
that
guidance.
Yes,
they need a mentor. Somebody must be there.
Someone for them to look up to.
Yeah.
That's what they need, 100%. And once they get that, Masab, you'd be surprised to see that to what great lengths they can go and what they can achieve. Allah,
absolutely.
It'll be truly, truly something else altogether.
Definitely.
What the youth can do, because they have that drive in them, they have that energy in them. And by them channeling the energy and the youth in the right way, this is one way of them also cherishing the youth. Otherwise, if they don't spend it in the right way, how is it them cherishing the youth? To cherish money, to value money, you don't keep the money laying out anywhere. You don't just use the money heedlessly. You make sure that, you know what, it's in the bank. And you'd make sure it's in your wallet. You won't leave it just laying anyhow. No.
Yes.
Like that too. Like how you protect money. More importantly than that is to protect and cherish and value your youth. And, you know, for one who does not value the youth, who does not cherish the youth, it will even be asked on the day of Qiyamah. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that on the day of Qiyamah, a person will not be able to lift his foot until he is questioned about five things.
Allah.
Five things, Masa. And number one is, in which activities was life spent? Number two, in which activities was your youth spent?
Look
at the question. Focus at the question. In which activities was the youth spent?
Allah.
And number three, from where was wealth earned? Number four, where was it spent?
Allah.
Where was it earned? Number four, where was it spent? And number five, to what extent did you act upon your knowledge?
Allahu
Akbar. Imagine the viewers of Madani Channel, especially for those beautiful youngsters that are watching today's episode, ponder over these five questions that your youth is being questioned over here. How did you spend your youth? What did you do with it? What did you do with the energy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and I? Did we use this energy in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Were we grateful to be given this energy, or were we ungrateful? So it comes down to us that the fortunate youngster is he who appreciates his youth, is grateful for it, and he overcomes his nafs, his carnal desires. He spends his days and nights in the acts of worship. Here, acts of worship does not only mean that you have to be in the masjid 24/7, as some youngsters may think, Masab, that when they are told, you know, spend your days and nights in the acts of worship, then they're thinking, now I must be 24/7 in the masjid. What am I going to do? How am I going to live life? Where am I going to earn? How am I going to earn? No, it does not necessarily mean that. what it means is by you being obedient to your parents, that is also an act of worship.
Bishop.
By you looking at the face of your parents with love, that is also an act of worship.
Allah.
By you making someone happy, that is also an act of worship. By you smiling, also an act of worship. Reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also an act of worship. It's vast. It's just for us to open our minds, to be open-minded and to have a broader perspective on life, because Islam is the only way of life, Masab. Islam is the code of life.
It's the most practical, actually.
100%.
It's the most
100%.
Simple. You were talking about acts of worship. It's your every moment of life. Before you enter the toilet, you need a dua. Upon exiting, you need a dua. You make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before you eat, after you eat, eat according to the sunnah. Before you put your shoe on, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Before you enter your home, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Lowering your gaze so you don't look at evil.
Right.
Protecting your hearing, speaking the truth, not lying, not deceiving.
Yes.
Fulfilling rights of each individual of society.
One's neighbor as well.
One's neighbor. I mean, this is what it's about.
Yes.
Not secluding yourself and locking yourself in the room and just, you know, making dhikr. Even there, shaitan can still come and mess a person's mind. So, how you live your life, and that is the sunnah.
100%.
Which is the perfect lifestyle. A complete and comprehensive way of living. And the first step is knowledge.
Subhanallah.
That's the first
Subhanallah.
Step. For youngsters out there, knowledge is the first step. And if you have the environment, motivation to practice upon that, you will see positive changes in your life.
Subhanallah.
Dawud Islam offers this. Many classes, many courses are there, even online as well. Many platforms and facilities, many activities, daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. Because youth want something to do.
Right. Don't be proactive.
Yes. If you don't engage them in something, as you say, proactive, Islamic, Shaitan is going to make their minds and they're going to do other things. So it all depends now that, you know, if we are making their minds to do the right thing.
And they always want to be on the ball. They always want to be on the move. And they can be on the move by doing the right things, you know, channeling it in the right way. You know, a beautiful hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that a young man who gives up the pleasure and luxuries of this world and advances towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his youth, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the reward equivalent to 72 siddiqeen. Subhanallah, subhanallah. You want to know how to live your youth, how to be in your youth? Look up the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look up how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived his youth, that even his enemies knew him as the most trustworthy.
Allah.
Even his enemies knew him as the most honest. His beautiful characteristics and traits we learn from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And speaking of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we do have a very beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us go forward and listen to this beautiful kalam, and we will be back thereafter to discuss further into our topic, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Roshan kar qabr be kason ki, ae shamae jamale mustafai, आंखों में चमक के दिल में आ जा, ए शमए जमाले मुस्तफाई, ए सब्ज गुंबद वाले मंजूर दुआ करना, जब नज़ा का वक्त आए दीदार अता करना, जब नज़ा का वक्त आए
دیدار عطا کرنا اے نور خدا آ کر آنکھوں میں سما جانا یا در پہ بلا لینا یا خواب میں آ جانا نور خدا آ کر آنکھوں میں سما جانا یا در پہ بلا لینا یا خواب میں آ جانا اے پردہ نشین دل کے پردے کرنا جب نظر کا وقت آئے دیدار عطا کرنا میں قبر اندھیری میں گھبراؤں گا جب تنہا امداد میری کرنے جانا رسول اللہ میں قبر اندھیری میں گھبراؤں گا جب تنہا امداد میری کرنے آ جانا رسول اللہ روشن میری تربت کو اے نور خدا کرنا روشن میری تربت کو اے نور خدا کرنا جب نظر کا وقت آئے دیدار عطا کرنا مجرم ہوں جہاں بھر کا محشر میں برم رکھنا رسوائے زمانہ ہوں دامن میں چھپا لینا مجرم ہوں جہاں بھر کا محشر میں برم رکھنا رسوائے زمانہ ہوں دامن میں چھپا لینا مقبول یہ عرض میری محبوب خدا کرنا مقبول یہ عرض میری محبوب خدا کرنا جب نظر کا وقت آئے دیدار عطا کرنا چہرے سے ضیا پائی ان چاند ستاروں نے اس در سے شفا پائی دکھ درد کے ماروں نے چہرے سے ضیا پائی ان چاند ستاروں نے اس در سے شفا پائی دکھ درد کے ماروں نے آتا ہے انہیں صابر ہر دکھ کی دوا کرنا آتا ہے انہیں صابر ہر دکھ کی دوا کرنا جب نظر کا وقت آئے دیدار عطا کرنا اے سبز گنبد والے منظور دعا کرنا جب نزعہ کا وقت آئے دیدار عطا کرنا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ a very beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us all make this dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala grant us all the complete love for his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and grant all of us the ability and tawfiq to implement the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Alhamdulillah, coming back to our topic of discussion, in which we are discussing cherish your youth. And mashallah, Murad Sahib has mentioned some very beautiful points for those of us who are young to reflect on how to value your youth, on how to cherish your youth. Because even in one narration, Murad Sahib, it's mentioned that one should value their youth before old age.
Yes.
Because things that can be done in your youth, you can do so many mesmerizing things. You can accomplish so much in your youth. But once you reach old age, then you would find your back starts to ache. You would find your legs start to hurt. You would find that you wouldn't be able to walk straight up. You wouldn't be able to walk with your back straight. And life tends to become difficult at that point. So before reaching there, we should value our youth. And also there is good news, Mullah Sahib, as well. You know, in old age, for those who don't want to end up like that, there's a way also for that, Mullah Sahib, in which they would still be mentally fit, in which their hearing would still be sound and proper, their eyesight would still be so strong. You know, how many elderly people we see that some of them have hearing aids, Mullah Sahib. Some of them, their eyesight are weak. And how many difficulties they go through.
Yes.
But subhanAllah, there is a way for those youngsters out there, mashallah, to overcome this as well. And for this, Imam Ibn Rajab Hanbali, rahimahullah, he mentioned a very beautiful thing, Mawlana Sahib. He said that one who remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he was young and healthy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of him when he gets old and weak.
Subhanallah.
What beautiful is that, the ubis of Madinah, inshallah. And not only that, Allah ta'ala will also grant him good hearing, vision, strength, and intellect.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You know, Masab Sayyidina At-Tabari, rahimahullah, it's mentioned about him that he was over 100 years old.
MashaAllah.
Over 100 years old.
Allah.
And still, mentally, he was fit. His intellect was still there. And he, on an overall, he was even physically fit as well. So someone asked him the secret of his health, that how you're over 100 years old and you're still functioning like how you were back in your days. So he says that in my youth, I protected my physical abilities from sins. I protected it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has retained them for me today when I have become old. And on the contrary, Rasul Sayyidina Junayd rahimahullah, he mentions that he saw an old person who was begging.
Right.
And he said, Sayyidina Junayd rahimahullah, he said that this person wasted the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his youth, in his young days. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wasted his strength in his old age.
Allahu Akbar.
So dear viewers of Madinah Channel, this is something for us, for you and I, to think about.
So this is a great motivator, actually.
100%, 100%.
In particular, to those who still are in the prime of their life, who are still youngsters. That subhanAllah, another way we can understand it is that, you know, there's a saying, if you don't eat your food as medicine, you'll end up eating your medicine as food.
Allahu Akbar.
So, health is so important. Don't be, you know, like sidelined and Don't feel that, you know what, I'm still young, I got power, energy, we'll see later on. Again, it's a deception of shaitan. Mm-hmm. He's delaying tactics. Because many of the youth are vulnerable.
Right.
And, you know, the media and the agents of shaitan himself, they know this. They try to manipulate the youngsters. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, you have time. Ask that elderly person that sits on the chair, that can't bend down for ruku and sujood. Mm-hmm. Ask him what he would give to perform his salah in a normal way.
Allah.
Standing,
Allah.
Ruku, sujood. Ask him. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I like to do, Maaf. One thing I sometimes like to do when I go for a program, mm-hmm. like a private function or something.
Right.
I try to look for the person who like sits in the corner, who nobody talks to, mm-hmm. and I go and sit with them.
Right.
Because you know, they say like every person is like a book.
Mm-hmm.
And the days of his life are like the pages of the book.
Subhanallah.
Everybody has some experience. Ask the elderly person. When I go to the old person, normally the old people now, they'll sit one side.
Mm.
Everybody else is laughing and chatting away. I like to go and sit down there. And one of the things I ask is, what would you change in your life if you had a chance?
Mm. Mm.
Mm. You can learn from that.
Allah.
Learn
Allah.
From the experiences of people who've been through life. And in particular, your parents. They've been through life. You know?
Mm.
And parents always want, you know, what's better for their children.
Right.
Want them to be better than themselves. So ask them. And parents also, you must share, not your sins. Mistakes you made in life. Psychologists, they say this. Parents must share, like, some mistakes they made in life with their kids. And how they learn from the mistake. How they rectified themselves.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
You know, that backward culture that is there.
Ji.
That's promoted in the via the movies and entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
They influence in this way that, you know, they influence the youngster's mind. That no, you know, you made your mistakes. Let me make my mistakes.
Right.
That's how they're influencing them. Don't invade my privacy.
Right.
Don't allow
I
need my space. Mm. Don't check in my wardrobe. Don't check my phone. Who I'm chatting with. Where you got all these ideas from? They trained your mind. They trained you nicely. You come out of that trap. They trapped you in this. Break free from that. The only people around you who care about you the most are your mother and father.
Definitely.
Your mother and father.
100%.
Even if it may seem like, you know what, hey, you know, they're always telling me I can't do this, I can't do this. They're telling you for a reason.
It's for their own betterment, actually.
For their own betterment.
Yeah.
They want you to be better than them.
100%.
They want you to be better. Others out, they're going to create a relationship with you because of some ulterior motive. Some strings will be attached. Maybe they enjoy your company. Something. But the mother, the father, that's you are their child. They care about you more than you know. And you only truly understand it is when you have kids of your own. Then you're going to think like, hey, what my parents went through. They were always advising me. They were always there to support me no matter what I did. So youngsters must think about this.
100% Masab. And you know, speaking of this narration, where in Sayyidina Abu At-Tabari rahimahullah, I mean, over 100 years old, and he was still mentally, physically fit, and his intellect was sound and proper. You know, it's even mentioned that one who regularly, especially in his young days, recites the Holy Quran, looks at the Holy Quran, and recites it continuously on an everyday basis. And due to the barakah of that, when they reach old age, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps their memory intact,
Allah.
Keeps their intellect intact, and keeps their memory strong due to reciting the Holy Quran. You know, Masab, my father-in-law, I've seen that he is in his old age, right? Maybe late 50s.
Right.
And every day he would wake up in the morning and he would do dhuhr. As a hafiz, mashallah, and a very great alim as well. And he would be doing dhuhr, and he's always up and down from where he is to Durban. It's around approximately maybe 300, 400 Ks, approximately. And during his travel, he would maybe do dhuhr of maybe 5 paras coming here to Durban and then going back. And then when I look at that, I think to myself, how and the time, and he has such a tight schedule. And I think to myself, how does he accomplish everything? And yet still late at night, he attends some mashwaras, some meetings. And he's still, you see, like he's not tired, like he still has energy. And then from through these narrations, we come to know that such a person, you know, we see that they value their youth. They spend their youth in the right way. And due to that, in the old age, Allah Ta'ala blesses them even more. So, subhanAllah, JazakAllah Mulasa, for all of the beautiful words of wisdom that you have pointed out to, and all of the beautiful pointers and those thought-provoking statements as well. And I'm hopeful that this will be a change for our youngsters out there as well, inshallah. Stay wise, stay kind, cherish your youth, and keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom.